Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The House of Morgan by Ron Chernow traces how one financial firm and one family name became intertwined with the story of modern capitalism. Spanning from the 19th century roots of transatlantic merchant banking to the power politics of Wall Street in the late 20th century, the book follows the evolution of J.P. Morgan and its predecessors as they shaped corporate America, global capital markets, and the role of banks in society. Chernow presents Morgan as more than a company profile. It is a history of crises, deals, personalities, and shifting public expectations about what finance should do. Readers encounter the era of railroad consolidation, the creation of industrial giants, the dramatic interventions during market panics, and the growing scrutiny that culminated in reforms and a more regulated banking system. The narrative also explores culture and character, showing how reputation, networks, and discretion once served as core financial assets in a world before today's transparency and algorithmic trading. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from merchant banking to Wall Street authority, a central theme is how the Morgan franchise emerged from the older world of merchant banking, where trust, correspondence networks, and cross-border relationships mattered as much as banaches. The story begins with the firm's European connections and the way capital flowed between London, Paris, and New York. Chernow explains why this model thrived in an era when information traveled slowly and when a respected intermediary could reduce uncertainty for investors and governments alike. The book shows how the Morgan partnership cultivated credibility through careful client selection, conservative financial practices, and a reputation for steady judgment. Over time, this credibility became a competitive advantage that allowed the firm to syndicate large financings and influence major corporate decisions. The transition into a more distinctly American center of power on Wall Street also illustrates the shift from family-style partnerships to institutions that increasingly had to manage scale, complexity, and public visibility. Through this lens, the Morgan story becomes a case study in how financial authority is constructed, not only with money, but with perceived integrity, elite networks, and the ability to coordinate other powerful actors during moments when markets need leadership. Secondly, financing industry and shaping corporate America. The book highlights Morgan's role in the era of large-scale industrialization, when railroads, steel, utilities, and manufacturing required immense long-term capital. Chernow describes how bankers did not merely provide loans, but also engineered reorganizations, brokered mergers, and imposed discipline on sprawling companies that lacked modern governance. The narrative explores the logic and controversy of consolidation. Supporters argued that rationalization could stabilize cutthroat competition and create efficiencies, while critics saw monopoly power and insider control. In this environment, Morgan partners and allies often sat at the center of boards, syndicates, and interlocking directorates, shaping strategy and standards for disclosure, accounting, and management. The topic also covers how underwriting and syndication became tools for distributing risk while concentrating decision-making among a small financial elite. By following landmark deals and corporate restructurings, the book frames the rise of the modern corporation as inseparable from the rise of investment banking. It also surfaces the long-running tension between productive capital formation and the perception that finance can extract value through fees, influence, and preferential access, a debate that continues in contemporary discussions about Wall Street's place in the economy. Thirdly, crisis management and the pre-Fed central banker role. One of the most dramatic threads is Morgan's repeated involvement in financial crises, especially in periods when the United States lacked a formal central bank capable of acting quickly as lender of last resort. Chernow recounts how private financiers sometimes coordinated emergency responses, mobilizing pools of capital, negotiating with government officials, and attempting to calm panics by signaling confidence. This topic emphasizes how fragile the financial system could be under the gold standard and fragmented banking rules, and why the ability to organize rescue financing conferred immense political and social power. The book also investigates the downside of relying on private actors for public stability. It raised questions about legitimacy, conflicts of interest, and whether democratic governments should depend on unelected bankers to keep markets functioning. These episodes help explain the growing appetite for institutional solutions, culminating in reforms that created more formal mechanisms for liquidity and supervision. By treating crises as turning points, Chernow shows how emergency actions can reshape norms, accelerate regulatory change, and redefine the boundaries between private finance and public responsibility, themes that remain relevant whenever governments and banks respond to systemic shocks. Fourthly, politics, public backlash, and the birth of financial regulation, Chernow places the Morgan Empire within the political battles that surrounded concentrated financial power. As Morgan influence expanded, so did suspicion that a small circle of bankers could steer markets, control credit, and shape national policy. The book explores the progressive era climate that produced investigations and reforms, including the broader movement against trusts and the concern about money trusts. This topic underscores how public perception, populist anger, and newspaper narratives could become forces as consequential as interest rates. The scrutiny of Wall Street helped drive reforms aimed at transparency, competition, and systemic stability, and it pushed banks to rethink how they presented themselves to the public. The Morgan story illustrates how regulatory change often follows periods of excess, opacity, or crisis, and how institutions adapt by altering structures, spin-offs, and compliance practices. Turnau also shows that regulation is not simply a technical fix, but a political settlement, balancing innovation and risk, private profit, and public interest. For readers, this section clarifies why modern finance operates inside a thick framework of rules, and why debates over oversight recur whenever markets evolve faster than governance. Lastly, from partnership culture to modern global finance, the later arc of the book tracks how Morgan transformed as finance became more global, more competitive, and more complex. Turnau contrasts the older partnership ethos, marked by discretion, personal accountability, and relationship banking, with the pressures of scale and modernization that reshaped Wall Street after mid-century. The firm's evolution reflects broader changes, the rise of professional management, the expansion of capital markets, new products, and the shifting balance between commercial banking, investment banking, and trading activities. The narrative shows how prestige alone could not guarantee dominance once talent markets, technology, and deregulation altered the competitive landscape. Morgan's name remained powerful, but it had to be continually re-earned through performance, adaptation, and strategic repositioning. This topic also covers cultural elements, including how internal norms and leadership styles influence risk appetite and client relationships. By following the institution across decades, the book offers a long view of what makes a financial firm durable, not just deal-making prowess, but the ability to respond to changing regulations, market structures, and global shocks. It reads as a history of modern finance through the lens of an institution forced to reinvent itself repeatedly. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a sweeping, narrative history of finance that connects personalities and institutions to the larger economic and political forces shaping the modern world, Stickling Active. Investors, business students, policymakers, and curious general readers will benefit because the Morgan story explains why capital markets work the way they do, how trust and reputation became financial instruments, and why crises so often lead to new rules. It also helps readers think more clearly about contemporary debates, the proper role of large banks, the trade-off between innovation and stability, and the uneasy partnership between government and private finance during emergencies. Compared with narrower books focused on a single crash or a single decade, Turnau's long timeline provides context that makes later events easier to interpret, showing patterns that repeat across generations. The book is also worth buying for its combination of institutional history and human drama, tracing how culture inside a powerful firm can influence decisions that ripple through the economy. Readers come away with a richer understanding of how modern finance was built, why it provokes both admiration and backlash, and how the balance of power between markets and society continually shifts. If you would like to support Ron Turnau, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.